means that the public has been left to do their own research, making firsthand observations and recording these. Here is one such recent report, one of many that keeps streaming in from around the world where towers and these technologies have proliferated. If we think about it, we can realize that we have all been observing these phenomena. From Patricia in Missouri, I have been living in rural southwest Missouri for the last 25 years without a mobile phone. When I bought my home in 2005, the soil on the lot was extremely poor. I wanted to bring it back and turn my whole yard into a food forest. I started by sowing clover and cultivating the dandelions. After the clover started to blossom, I noticed it was being visited by thousands of bumblebees. I had so many hummingbirds that three feeders were needed to keep them from fighting for access. Mosquitoes were almost non-existent. At night, I could see hundreds of bats flying around. And in spring, the yard and the whole area was filled with the peeping of little green tree frogs. I would check the swimming pool for their eggs and move them to a small pool I had set up just for the frogs where I could feed the tadpoles. After I had been living here for 6 years, the first cell tower was erected at the edge of town. Over the next few years, more towers went up until the whole area was saturated with RF radiation, including all the addition, surely, to the towers. The town also used a federal grant to change all the electric meters to electronic ones and do away with the analog meters. Each year since, the number of bumblebees seem to shrink by half, even though I still have the clover and dandelions. During the past 4 to 5 years, I could count the number of bumblebees on one hand. The last 2 years, I've seen only one or two per year. The hummingbirds are totally gone. Worst of all is the complete annihilation of the tree frogs. Even friends who live out in the sticks and have ponds have noticed the recent silent spring phenomenon. It used to be nearly impossible to sleep past dawn with the windows open in spring, summer, and fall due to the enormous numbers of songbirds. Their numbers have declined to the point where I have to actively listen in order to hear them. I could go on about the diminished numbers of butterflies, crickets, praying mantises, spiders, and earthworms I've observed. The declines are not limited to the smaller creatures. There used to always be cottontail rabbits in the yard, and I haven't seen one of them in recent years. I have lost more pets to cancer since 2010 than I care to count. There aren't even any mice anymore. My personal health has declined severely as well. At the time, there have been noticeable increases in mosquitoes, chiggers, and ticks, to the point where it is miserable spending a few minutes outside. Obviously, the birds and spiders would have eaten these are gone. These developments are not the result of climate change or warming. Birds, insects, and amphibians are the canaries in the mine, warning us all concerning our choices and our dangerous and proliferating reliance on using electricity for wireless transmission of data when we could do otherwise. Thank you. Just to bear in mind that we really are wiping out our life on Earth slowly but surely. Thank you.
Rob?
Yeah, it circulated to the board via email. We had talked about a parking restriction on Maple Avenue North, I called it, that would prohibit parking on Maple Avenue from New Street to the Village line. So I have that local law, and if that was okay with the Village trustees, what we would do is schedule that for public hearing at your next regularly scheduled Village board meeting, and I'd work with Jessica to get that notice if that's okay. If anybody had any problems or issues,
you're going to do it 6:30?
We can do it right at 7:00 at the beginning of the meeting.
All right. That's fine.
Yep. And then the other thing I circulated, no rush to adopt, because there is some, we've talked about it, there's some confusion about it, is a local real property tax exemption for volunteer firefighters and EMS under section 466A of the real property tax law, as Jason and I know Doug has researched it as well. It's an incentive because it provides for firefighters to get a tax exemption of their village tax. However, the town has adopted it and the county has adopted it. I don't know if the school districts have adopted it. And there's a lot of confusion as how it applies, because you have firefighters that live in a district but provide fire protection district for, so all the assessors are trying to figure out how it applies to these different options and avenues. Actually, the Clavick assessor is one of the ones that is one of the most educated on it. So I circulated a copy of the text of what you would adopt. How it actually applies to everyone would be up to the assessor, Clavick assessor, but it's up to you if you wanted to consider that at this time or hold off on that at this time. That would be a local law as well.
It behooves us to hold off at this time, right? Because it's not going to be enacted for this year anyway. We can't get it in on time. For
yeah, because the taxable, anybody...
And that's not towards us. It's because we got the information late.
Yeah, I mean, the taxable status, anybody who has to apply for a tax exemption has to get it in by March 1. So you're not going to have your public hearing and adopt it by March 1 this year.
No.
So you have plenty of time to let this sort out.
Maybe we can work on it like around October or something. And because I've also heard that Dee Barrett is trying to change the law so that it would be more, or that you might be able to get both the income tax and the property tax.
Right.
Just like see if anything rolls out of the state government.
Yeah, because I've heard that too, because there's been a lot of, Suzette Boy from Real Property Tax Service has been pulling her hair out as to the questions and how it applies. So I think there is going to be some sort of a rewrite on this.
Okay.
So if you adopt something now, you'll probably end up adopting an amended version later on anyway.
Cool.
In it. It doesn't do anything for this year anyway. So.
Not for your firefighters this year, no.
I'll recommend we wait.
Leave it all or something, we'll talk about it again.
Yeah.
That's it for me.
Jessica?
Village elections will be held on March 19th. Petitions are due tomorrow, February 13th, and acceptance letters are due by the 16th, which is Friday. New payroll deductions were submitted to payroll. The annual water quality report for 2023 is complete and ready to be submitted to the state. The full report will be included in April's water billing. Began budget preparations. Reimbursement paper was filled out and submitted for the sidewalk project grant. We researched village archives and maps regarding the name of Lake Side Drive and Prospect Street from 911 request. Set up a bank account for the sewer debt service charge. Worked with Toby regarding the library financials. We began working with Suzette from Columbia County Real Property for the Columbia County Assessment Role. Provided back tax and water sewer information for the transfer of the Cassidant property on Summit Street. Back taxes from 2017 to current have been paid. Did an employment record request by the New York State Troopers. W-2 we received from the payroll company and were set out with to the employees by the office. Will be closed Monday the 19th in observance of President's Day.
Thank you. Roger.
Coming up, we have Backyard Bird Count, February 16th program with Mud Creek. February 20th, we have a Houseplant Care 101. February 26th, we have native shrubs and trees for your landscape, which I'll probably go to. On the 25th of February is Finding Julia, Centering Black Women in Antebellum History, a discussion of the Vice President's Black Life, which is a Zoom program. There were 100 people at programs this month in January, and there were 750 people actually in the library, which is a lot. That's it.
Doug, Community Center.
Okay, Community Center report for January. Center was checked during the month. It was rented for two family parties. Repair of the windows and doors is in the works. I know that we have got the windows and doors repaired, but he hasn't actually started working yet. It looks like Julie sent this in about the third week in January. Programs this month were crocheting. The Scouts and Community Day Committee are using the group. Jess Properall attended the grant writing workshop in Hudson. She's providing information on grants related to the arts. Comox Community Day Committee is holding a, oh, it was yesterday, they held a bacon plant sale at the center. I guess they did pretty well financially too, so that's good, they sold a lot.
That was like 400 or 500 bucks.
I didn't get a number, but I know that they were happy. And that was submitted by Julia, Director.
Mr. Mason.
Evening, Mayor. First month of January, Chief Bummer had 9 calls for service, 1 arrest, 94 property checks, no car accidents, 5 UTPs issued, and issued 17 warnings to motorists. And we also wrote 5 parking tickets for month of January overnight.
Perfect. I'd like to speak to you after the meeting.
Yes, sir.
Sally.
So the report is fairly long, so perhaps what we ought to do first, which isn't in the report, but needs a response. So Bryson that cut our text sent in this revised schedule, and I printed one out for each of you. So the question is this. So that the village board have access along with everybody else in the village, the proposal that is on the table is to hold every other month at the village watch for half an hour for Vice and Lipka and Star White House to come in and do a progress report. So the question is would you be willing to do that? Do you think that's a good idea?
Does it have to be at that time? Could they do it at a different time?
Do you want to come in another day?
No, I don't want to come in at all for that. That's why I'm thinking it could be on Zoom or something. You could watch it from afar. That's my comment, yeah.
So the way that they were thinking about it was that at the village work, so you wouldn't have to, you know, hold a special meeting, right? Because you're already there.
If it's a progress report, does it require a meeting? Can it just be like an update that they record and then put online? Are there going to be question and answers at it?
Wouldn't you want to have that in person?
I'd much rather have it on Zoom, so I don't have to attend.
Well, you can attend the Zoom meetings.
That's what I mean, yeah.
So that there's, if you look at the schedule, it's a mixture of 13 meetings over 10 months, spread between in-person meetings, Zoom meetings, and then 3 open houses, one of which will be done on community. So it was just a suggestion of, you know, a way that the village board would be able to ask questions during the 10-month process.
So maybe this is something we can talk about? When is this?
I only got it today.
Yeah, my gut feeling is I don't want to lose that half hour of my workshops.
Yeah.
Because we get so much done. That's our time.
Yeah. And so the question then remains, how can we, you know, because those of us who...
They don't need an answer tonight, right?
No. But
so,
I would bring it up now,
yeah.
then
we can figure something out, but I'm not going to do the workshop thing because
we need
that's our time.
Do you have a solution that you would prefer?
Not yet.
I think just a written report would suffice with contact information if we wanted to call and ask questions.
Yeah, but on the other hand, I like to talk to the people too.
Brian, what we could do, we can change originally we had proposed that those in-person meetings with you and Bob McFarland, those would be BOA committee meetings.
Yeah.
And then we realized it's like, oh, well, actually, you know, all of the BOA committee, including Bob, will be on the Zoom meetings anyway. And then we thought, oh, well, maybe the village board. But you could also come to the open houses. They're fairly, if you look at these, they're fairly distributed all the way through. We just wanted to propose something that would give the board access.
And they wanted to do every other month?
They're just proposing it. It's just an idea, you know. This maybe we should do that. Maybe, you know, just as an idea, so that as the project builds and the designs are being done, that the village board have, you know, the opportunity to weigh in. That's all. It can be changed.
So just to confirm, so for instance, we could, board members could attend the 3/28 Zoom meeting and the 4/25 Zoom meeting and the community session, et cetera. Is that right?
Yeah. You could do those, definitely.
And the question is, do we need more? And, you know, one, this is something, again, we can talk about, but, like, in some ways it's going to be hard until we get started to know what kind of questions we have, but it might be, anyway, I guess we should talk about it later, but it might be useful to have some meetings set up that we could talk to.
I mean, they're not going to do, Deborah, they're not going to do any more than 13 meetings. Pretty amazing to get that.
That wasn't what I was suggesting.
Meetings, right?
So I'm just talking to Brian, so if that's okay. I think he understood what I meant.
I understand what you meant, and I need some time to think about how I want to approach it, because I don't want to waste the workshops. And I would like the village board to have an opportunity to ask questions and talk to these people.
Well, maybe
without outside interference. So I'm not.
Maybe we go with the workshop meetings, but just with the understanding that, okay, they're going to be longer than they normally are, and we'll still do our other regular business.
Well, we can, yeah, all right. So.
But we have 3 other meetings that we can attend, right? Can we do all that during the other meetings?
Yeah, but you're usually at the workshops anyway.
Yeah, but I could just sit on Zoom and skip that.
But that's observing. That's not interacting.
Oh, you can't ask questions on that?
It's not.
I agree with Brian. I think I was getting annoyed with some other departments that were eating up a lot of our workshops, and I didn't think it was fair to everyone else for a while.
Can I make a suggestion? So how many board members can come to the VOA meeting? One more, right, without it being a special meeting?
Two most, at the most.
So how about rotating it so that you get what you want, which is the in-person, you know, confidential meeting, and that we rotate in and make available that one or two more board members can attend that meeting when Vice and Lipka are presenting. Does that work?
It does. Or we could just notice it as a special workshop for the board, and those who want to attend can come. If they don't have any questions, I mean, I agree with Jason that he shouldn't have to waste his time if he doesn't have any questions for him. But I, you know, I like to see the people in person, and I like to have the opportunity to talk to them without outside interference. I think that could work. All right, we'll figure it out. No, we'll let you know very shortly.
Okay, perfect. Right. So then, quickly to go through my reports, so you can take to and you have it in front of you. So the Boa Grant Committee met on January 23rd, and it was attended by Bob McFarlane, Barbara Segal, representing the chair of the LWRP leadership project, and sub-area working group members Mark Roundtree, Karen Shermer, and Alex Sales Project Management, and Brian had a prior engagement, so it did not attend. So we reviewed how the request by Rice and Lipka Architects for topological surveying. This is an extra scope of work that they needed, and I have discussed it with the DOS, and we decided that it was important to be able to get that topological surveying done. So we changed it out for the two market studies and the infrastructure study in the work plan of the BOA. So are there any questions about that, or is that sort of pretty clear? Mm-hmm. So that the topological mapping will be paid from the grant, and PB Inc. will look into finding some additional funding so that we can complete and get those two market studies done, and the infrastructure analysis done, but separate from the VIR, and I'll aim to get that funding this year in 2024. Number three, we just, so that actually analyzes this. We discussed PV Inc. making the commitment to pay Rice and Lipka Architects an additional $15,000 towards the architectural consultant fee. So by needing the topological mapping, they were basically, you know, decreasing this, you know, the fee in the VOA by that amount. And so, as you but you all know, that PV Inc. undertook to take to raise the 10% local match, and we the village have a resolution on that in 2019. So we continue to do that and supply the local match. So PV Inc. can pay that $15,000 to Rice and Lipka separately from the VOA, and then count it towards the local match. Is that kind of clear? Any questions on that? No? Okay. We reviewed the Rice and Lipka architect's timeline and approved the 13 meetings to take place over a period of 10 months, divided between in-person meetings, Zoom meetings, and three in-person community sessions to be conducted on site at either or both community centre and the Canal Street sites. Number five, we discussed holding potential community day July 20th event at the community centre for Rice and Lipka and Star White House landscape architects to present their preliminary designs for community input and comments. And we envision this community day as a sort of all-day event, because it could attract a lot of input on, you know, for Rice and Lipka's team, and that we'll make every endeavor to put together a nice event that maybe has some food and maybe some other things going on those sites. And hopefully that will work nicely for the Community Day Committee. We reviewed the required minority women business enterprise 30% of the budget allocation for the VOA grant, and how those requirements would be met by hiring minority and women business enterprise for specific work plan tasks and items. So we're on schedule for that, and we will be able to make that 30% budget allocation. Number seven, we discussed the need to start strategizing a capital campaign to be in position to construct a new community center and the next level of concept designs community center, it should say based on the next level concept designs to be produced by Rice and Lipka Architects, including the various grant programs to be approached. And it was decided to initially devote an entire VIR committee meeting to follow up on these discussions. This is a fairly large strategic meeting that is needed to be held. Number eight, so with reference to the current comp plan and the potential of the village developing a New York Forward or a DRI, which is the Downtown Revitalization Initiative proposal, it was agreed that a Team Philmont meeting should be proposed to the Village Board, the Comp Plan Committee, and the Climate Smart Task Force to come together to explore how best to combine forces and resources to be working collaboratively towards community-based goals. So we're asking for input on that on the board.
Yeah, we started the discussion last workshop.
Okay, great. It would be very useful to have everybody working, you know, with combined resources there also. Number nine, discussion took place trying to clarify information about the library's idea of relocating the library. There seemed to be a lot of conflicting information going around in the community that various members of the Boer Committee had picked up, and we seem to be sort of in the dark on it. So we're just, you know, putting that out there that there is some concern because the Canal Street site, which is sub-area 2, was mentioned in one of these community dialogues, and it was like, well, wait a minute, you know, so we're just sort of putting it out there to let you know that it was brought up in a borough committee, and that, you know, we'd really like to get some clarification on that. And then, as far as the LWRP, so the Watershed Advisory Committee was scheduled to have a meeting tomorrow, and once again, Lavella has actually rescheduled that. So I emailed them to say, you know, basically to find out why they keep cancelling, and I asked how much, what was the percentage that they had completed. We're waiting on this big chunk of work, which is task 9. It is really extensive. They say, they email back to say that they've completed 85% of the work. That's okay, but we should have had an emerging draft by now so that it could have been, you know, submitted to the DOS for comment. So just an area that we're on top, I'm on top of, that, you know, reasonably concerned about that. I haven't been concerned about it. And then the historic district, as you know, the State Review Board met on December 4th, approved the nomination for the Village of Wilmot Historic District to be listed in the State Registry. And we got an update from Parks a couple of weeks ago saying that the nomination now is on its way to Washington and that we should get the national review done within the next 2 months. And in addition to that, just want to let you know that he being put out a newsletter giving all of the instructions, you know, to people, and we, you know, how to reply, how, and we asked everybody to email in to let us know if it went smoothly. And so far we've had a really good response. A lot of people have actually accessed it, and they seem to be, you know, very happy with how easy it is to access the tax credits. So we're going to be gathering that information, and then later in the year we'll put out a newsletter documenting that to show how easy it was to access and how homeowners use the tax credits to help them with repairs and renovations. That's it.
Thank you. Tom's not here.
I can do those two. So comprehensive plan, Robin and LaBerge have been doing stakeholder meetings, meeting one-on-one with people, and also sending out surveys, and they're in the middle of that process, and they're continuing to do that. They have spoken with Toby and Roxanne from the spot and the fire company, and they still have Julie Veronese on the list, the building inspectors, police chief, mayor, and BOA committees and climate smart committees.
Did they do the library?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, that's sure one that's completed. And the climate smart community, we were supposed to hear about the grant that we're waiting for at the end of January, but that's been pushed back, that date has been pushed back, so we should hear by the end of this week on that. We are going for, there's been a refunding of the, you know, there's two programs, the Climate Smart and the Clean Energy, the Climate Smart being the federal program, the Clean Energy being the state. And the state program has been refunded. And so we have a possibility of accessing $100,000 for work, like the work we want to do on this building. And it's within reach. Our contact at NYSERDA says it's within reach. But we do have to do some work to get there. And one of the great things we did that did get us the largest number of points is the stretch code. But now what we do have to do is achieve bronze status. And to do that, I have another things that we can maybe talk about at the workshop meeting if there's time. And I did find an opt-in program for solar, so we can talk about all that. and we had our regular meeting. And one other thing, no, that's it.
All right, DPW in the water. Many of you know we've had a few water breaks in the past couple of weeks. And the town of Culver and our water department have been working together flawlessly.
Great.
It's like it never happened. I was nervous about it before the winter got here, but I'm not nervous anymore. Everything seems to be running smoothly. The roads are every bit as good as what we had them. Louis's taken very good care of everything. The Main Street sidewalks get done every time it snows, so that transition has gone smoothly. It's one of the only things that's gone smoothly in the last year, but that has gone smoothly. And then as far as my report goes, I attended a emergency management meeting into Commerce Park. We had a survey. Did you put that survey out?
It's on, and it's been distributed through social media and email and
good.
On the website.
There's a few things that we have left to do. Jason's going to take care of the climate smart part of that. Doug and I are the contact people. Deborah's been, she's the go-to for the information to get out there. So that's in progress, and there's a lot of work left to do. I guess it's a 10-month project, and they're being very aggressive about it. So if you need to know something about that, get on our website and look at the survey.
Yeah, and I'll just say the survey can be found at the top on the homepage in the call-outs, and then also there's a, what are these called? QR code in the posts under Trending Around Town.
Perfect.
You can get to some explanation there. And thanks to you.
I did send it out.
And yeah, Jess sent it out to the list. And it's been on Facebook and Philmont Community Neighbors.
All right, we'll get to the trustees' reports. Doug?
Okay. I responded to a few of the water issues, particularly on Maple Avenue and on Ham Street. Apparently, Brian goes to bed early. I got calls at 10 o'clock tonight.
Not reaching me at 10 o'clock.
I'd like to thank Cliff and Alan because they've been doing a lot of work for the village and the water department. There's been a lot for them to do. Also, thank them for looking into the vent at the community center. I checked properties, found no issues around. Helped with some issues with community center access. Attended the special meeting and the workshop meeting. Sally and I met with the rail trail folks, and they're going to come and talk to us later this month. Had a discussion with Chief Beaumont about energy conservation in the firehouse, and they made some corrective changes. And I corresponded with the historian, and Chrissy's been looking into it too regarding the name change on Lakeside Drive. It would be Lakeside Drive. So that was most of the work. I did just want to mention to Sally on your update number 5. I'm not involved with the Community Day Committee anymore, but I was for years. So they probably now are doing some heavy planning. Well, that was going to the meeting. So you don't want to like spring them that you want to have an event at the community center, you know, like in June. Just let them know that you might be doing things up there. That way they won't be planning, say, a bicycle safety thing at the community center. So I'm just saying communicate with the Community Day Committee.
I was just waiting to get it confirmed that Bison could do that on a Saturday, and that came in today. So I'll be emailing them tomorrow.
You're doing that right, Deb, though?
No, actually, Jason's taken over.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
Sean Jennings is the chair of that committee, and Emily Noonan's the secretary, and Jess Cropper is the treasurer, and Jason's the liaison.
Who's the chair?
Sean.
Sean Jennings.
Okay.
And all of that is on the website under committees, if you need it.
I just wouldn't feel right if, you know, springing things on.
Yeah, no, no, I plan to do it as soon as I have confirmation from my selector. It was discussed in the Boa committee meeting. Everybody said, yeah, nice idea, and it needs extra work, so it's not just my selector. And so I need to get that agreement then here, and then today the confirmation from my selector, because it's accurate, and they're willing to turn up. So the answer is yes, so I'll email Sean tomorrow.
That's it, Martin.
Jason?
The only thing I'll mention is the Community Day event this weekend was awesome. I don't know if you guys were able to show up, but they really pulled it together. And it was classy, and it was nice, and it made money, and it gives me hope for the future. So I think we're gonna start off on the right track. There's gonna be another event at Local 111 coming up. There's some talk about naming the garbage trucks. I haven't mentioned that to you guys. There's some things coming up we got planned. Other than that, normal business, that's it.
Skips in Aruba. Deborah, you're up.
Okay, so in addition to the comp plan work and the climate smart work, Brian and I were down at the DPW with Vern looking at, I don't know what to call it.
Addition.
An addition to the DPW building. I think we came up with for the police department cars and an office down there, and I think we came up with a pretty elegant solution. So. We're moving forward with that. And I have been working very hard on the housing needs assessment. We received 9 proposals to our RFP, and many were excellent. There were 2 clear top winners, and we could have, you know, we'd be very lucky to work with either one of those. In the end, we chose one that is a slightly smaller outfit and has a slightly different approach that we think will meet our needs better. I guess, Rob, I need to talk to you about an agreement, because I think that's the next step. But we are super excited with all the interest and the level of expertise. And that's it. And then a ton of updates to the website.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Fire department.
Calls for the month 7, nothing really of note other than the fact that there was another false alarm in Hawthorne Valley. 7 fire calls for the year, and total 7. That's it. Quiet month.
That's the way we like them.
Yeah.
Correspondence list is on the table, and hard copies are in the office. Motions and resolutions.
Motion to enforce the water turnoff law and take action against delinquent water users.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to appoint Nathan
Weir
to the Village of Philmont Volunteer Fire Department as a member.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to reappoint Robert McFarland as chairman of the Village of Philmont Planning Board for a 1-year term with term to expire March 1st, 2025.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to reappoint Judith Tice as a member of the Village of Philmont Planning Board with a term to expire March 1st, 2029.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to reappoint Jess Cropper-Alt as a member of the Village of Philmont Planning Zoning Board of Appeals with a term to expire March
1st,
2029.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Abstain.
Carried.
Motion to transfer the amount of $4,388.88 from the Summit Lake Project account to the general checking account to pay for community center repairs.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to your credit account 4336, Town of Claverack, in the amount of $81.87 for penalties accrued while waiting for leak detection with the water department.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to transfer the amount of $100,976.52 from the water checking account to water maintenance account to repay the amounts transferred to pay for the water storage tank project.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor? Opposed? Carried.
Motion to transfer the amount of $89,497.71 from the water checking account to the water savings account to repay the amounts transferred to pay for the water tower storage project.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to nominate Thomas Pano to be the representative of the Columbia County Climate Smart Community Task Force.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to allow the mayor, deputy mayor, to sign a letter of support for the Berkshire Taconic Community Impact Grant.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
That's it. New and unfinished. Deborah touched on a little bit. We did meet with Vern over to the DPW building. Vern has received a grant for $150,000 for a new building. So to maximize the money, we're going to add on to the DPW on the one end, which gives them three bays for parking. And Louie, I had Louie up there, and he wants to utilize the common area in there. We're gonna put some lockers in there and maybe split that office in half for you guys. Not that you need another office up there, but it's nice to have some place to talk and quiet. Still gonna run the office out of here.
Correct. Processing be done down here. That's just a storage for personal vehicles and to get the patrol cars in some such environmentally controlled.
There's a shower up there. There's space for seven or eight lockers. Louie and I looked at it. He's on board with the project. I haven't heard that their union is going to give us any trouble. I don't know how that works. I know they had an issue when the transfer was going through about running our water department out of that building also because of two different unions. Our police force isn't union, so
it should be
fine. But I don't know where Vern is with his.
He's waiting right now. He's literally waiting for all the snow to happen.
Yeah, but I don't know where we're at in the process with him getting us prices.
Okay.
Louie's got a couple different ideas for him. I think they have talked. Louie said something about Alvarez and Coons's.
Last discussion I had, Mayor, with Vern about pricing was having it delivered and erected using our own labor, as opposed to having it installed, then that's a prevailing wage situation.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure where he's at today.
I think Louie had if you get it from Alvarez, it comes pre-built, and that gets out of the prevailing wage issues.
Do you know if that was what the rescue squad building was? That metal?
I don't recall. Don't remember that. Don't remember what that was. But that's where we are on that. That is going to move forward one way or another because we've got to use that money or lose it.
Right.
So,
what's going to happen with the entrance to that? So it's not going to be a key lock anymore.
What's
that? Like to get into the DPW to these guys?
We haven't gone.
Okay, just one.
That isn't at that point yet.
Yeah, I wasn't sure either.
Okay. No, it is locked. The building is locked.
He meant the entrance.
The entrance.
Oh, they don't shut the gate. We haven't shut the gate since we were giving water away.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
We always let the people go in there, so. I don't have anything else. You got anything, Doug?
The only thing is that this would be a Rob question. It's been brought up to me mostly by Chrissy about the property that's owned by the rescue squad. And there is no rescue squad in existence anymore.
I thought that reverted back to the village.
I thought it did too. I have to take a look.
I'm pretty sure that reverted back to the village when the rescue squad went out.
Chrissy's on the.
I think she saw in the tax book or tax something that was sold to them.
Well, yeah, if you could check, because if we end up doing something down there with, you know, law or whatever, it should be in the village name.
I think if you want my way on it.
If you know anything about what it is.
I think if you look on the GIS in the county, it's under village. But when you look on the tax map here, it's listed still as.
Yeah, there probably wasn't. If there was a reverter in the deed, which is an automatic transfer back, there wouldn't be any paperwork for the assessor to trigger their office to put it back in the village name. So I can take a look at that.
Yeah, I'm sure we had it in there.
Yeah, I remember discussing it back then.
Where's the village maps are incorrect anyway. You know that's right. And I'm specifically incorrect in terms of ownership of land in that area, the village. So how that paid out for the Boer is that Elan decided there was a committee decision that we had to, you know, go to default, which maps to use, and the steering committee said let's use the village maps, and so that's what happened. But then all of those Boer maps are incorrect in terms of who owns property. So they all have to be, you know, I mean, we've dealt with it, you know, with the various property owners, and we've dealt with that, and with Bryce and Luca. So I have looked at these property listings fairly consistently. So they're okay at the Columbia end, but they're not okay here. So it depends what Matt was looking at.
The other thing is that there's unclaimed funds, you know, the comptroller has in the rescue squad's name.
Oh.
And I don't know if we should be able to get that, or somebody.
Is there any surviving entity of the rescue squad left? Any board personnel? Nothing.
Barbara would know better than anybody.
Because they would need vet or whatever the successor is to make an application for release of those funds.
Because Chrissy was saying that she called, Mr. Tracy, he was one of the last ones.
Yeah, Rick Tracy.
Cider was on it. All those people are just like, nah.
How much money is it?
I don't know how much.
Oh, really?
I don't think they tell you until you get it. When I submitted for the village, they didn't tell how much it was until we.
Oh, you tried it?
I got one for us before, yeah.
Okay.
For the actual village.
Yeah, the county does it too. You know, every once in a while they
send. Last time I did it, they made me pay. They owed money. Yeah, so don't mess with it.
Unclaimed funds?
Yeah, $800 I had to pay. Unclaimed for the state of Virginia. Because I didn't pay a traffic ticket or something stupid. Years ago. Yeah, I was going to get money.
That sounds a lot like when they give out the free TVs.
Yeah,
everybody with a warrant shows up to get a free TV.
Never
going to get arrested.
So I don't know if you could look into that robbery.
Yeah. They won't give me the time of day either. So, I mean, it would have to be some viable, someone with authority or someone acting under authority.
Of a group that's no longer there.
Right,
yeah.
That's the problem.
I think Barbara was on the board.
You could probably get
it. She could do it. I've got some information. If they've all lost their folders, I have all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Barbara can do it.
Okay.
I can ask her.
I can help Barbara. Let's put it that way. She won't.
Well, then I'll call her and tell her to get in touch with you.
Yeah, we can sort it out. We can help.
Well, where's the money going to go?
Say it again?
Where will the money go?
I don't know. We'll find out, you know, by researching it, right?
Well, just as long as
I think that's all.
Yeah.
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 I think
it's time for me
to take a holiday anyway.
I've never heard of
it.
Yeah, I know. I hadn't either, so I fell for it.
Why isn't she let me?
Not the mayor.
If there's nothing else, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. What?
Is it the Department of Public Works that could get the two office chairs just up from the spillway out of the gully there? They did a bunch of, there's a bunch of clear cutting.
Oh, I know where she's talking about. I'll get them this week. I know exactly where you're talking about, yes.
If you could.
I will get them. So I'm gonna bring them down to DPW.
All right.
I'll get them tomorrow.
I need a second.
Oh, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. All right, Mr. Mason, let's go into your office.
Yeah, Kate, those are the, I thought you were gonna say they were like below the dam, and I was like, oh shit. But I know exactly where you mean. They're not that far down the trail. It's just weird that someone threw away two of them, right? It's strange, why is there two? See you, Dick.
Thank you for calling up her house. I did see it. I had it like.
There is your dick.
Sidewalk has been done. Well, the two guys that are there are green, and Louis doesn't know, so.
So can you tell Louis?
I'll get it taken care of.
Okay.
So easy to listen.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate it.
Good night, Philmont.
As soon as I saw it, I was like, yep.